experiencing anxiety. For some of us, that youth is a fear of war. I mean, if somebody pressed the wrong button, we could have a third world war. It is the risk. But we also have other kind of fear today, that I don't know what it is, but we all have different anxiety, stress. And here the prophet say that God will give you, if you enter through the gate into his presence, you can have a complete shalom, shalom, if you rely on him. Did I go back? If your mind is stayed on you. The word stayed is meaning to lean, to rest, to put yourself, to lean upon, a support. So I'm trying to think what would be a good illustration for this word to lean, to stay on. So I think of when I hold on to my 4-month-old grandson, Mikey. He's about 18 pounds now. So like a loaf of bread that's 18 pounds heavy. So I put him on my chest yesterday in the picnic. He's really tired of all this with 200 people shouting like crazy. So I put him on my chest and then he just leaned on me. He's still too weak to sit up by himself. I still sometimes hold on to his neck when I lift him up. He is kind of helpless. He cannot speak and complain. Can you keep the noise down? I'm trying to get some sleep here. Or can you feed me? I'm hungry. He's so helpless. So when I put it on my chest, he just leaned on me. I think that is what this word means. Stay on you. To lean on God. Those who experience this complete shalom, peace, 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 shalom, shalom, you have to lean your mind, not just your physical body, but your mind has to lean on Him. Is your mind leaning on Him every day, or your mind is on other things? Sometimes when I read the news on the internet, I get stressed out. All this unrighteousness. How could this happen? In today's world, my mind gets stressed out. And I have to bring my mind back. I have to lean on God. I have to think of Isaiah 27, and I'm going to cover on this. And your mind has to lean on Him like a little baby, like a 3-month-old baby. And then you trust Him because He trusts you. Trust meaning not just believe. In the New Testament, we ask people to believe in Jesus, which is not a complete message. You have to trust. Trust is more than just believing in Jesus as the Lord. Believing meaning that you believe He is God. You go to see a doctor, the doctor give you a prescription. I believe that this prescription will help me, but I do not like taking medication, so that it won't help. So trust is to actually follow His instructions. So I look up the dictionary, trust, I missed this. Trust meaning, did I put it up here? Yes. Trust meaning carefree, confident, be safe. I looked this up in the dictionary. So you feel safe in the Lord. Do you feel safe in the Lord? Is your mind lean on Him? In Proverbs 3:5, the same word lean on is being used. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So this word here is the same as this. Your mind stay on thee. So we have to trust and lean on Him. I found this on the internet. This guy is really, really trusting, leaning, is relaxing, floating, playing his violin. This is the kind of shalom we can find in our Lord. But you have to first enter into His presence. And you have to rely on Him. And you have to trust Him that you will not sink. He will keep you afloat. Like this foundation for this building. This is an earthquake design building. Look at this. This is one of the columns. Look at this mass, massive concrete there. So He is like an eternal rock. It's rock solid. But even you have met all this requirement, there is still a requirement. You have to humble yourself. And if you move on to verse 5 and 6, 3 to 6 is really one section. For He has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays low. Here, the prophet is really a poet. Now he's using this technique. Stay low, lazy low is actually only one word, meaning, lazy low, meaning staying low. So lazy low. So use the word twice here, like Shalom. So he's drawing a comparison here. 3 and 4, 5 and 6 is a contrast. So 3 and 4, when you trust, rely on the Lord, you will have Shalom. But if you dwell high, trying to be proud of yourself, trying to stay up by yourself, you end up not having this security. You end up lazy low. It is a contrast, 3 and 5, 4 and 6. And the foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the step of the helpless. All those people who are not relying on the Lord will not experience this Shalom. He will be down low on the floor, on the ground. He will suffer. He will be stressed. So brothers and sisters, today you may be experiencing stress, anxiety, lack of peace. It is maybe because you are not relying on the Lord. You are relying on yourself. You are relying on other power, authority. You are relying on the people. You are relying on maybe the government. You are relying on wealth, your position, your ability. But those people could not find true Shalom. Shalom is the contrast. It is the contrast. You will find yourself lazy low. You will be struggling. Because true Shalom can only be found in the Lord. So the prophet Isaiah here is reminding the people, you need to go back to the Lord. Do not rely on trying to have allegiance with other countries, the Israelite, Judah. Do not try to be rely on another powerful nation to protect you. Only the Lord can protect you. You need to go back to the Lord for His Shalom. And you need to 7 to 11. Verse 7 to 11. Peace must walk in the path of righteousness. You need all this to link to my last point, which is point 5. You need all this step by step. It's almost like an instruction. You need to follow the instruction. Instruction number 3 is you need also to walk in the path of righteousness before you can experience this true Shalom. The way of the righteous is smooth, upright one. Make the path of the righteous level. We need to stay away from sins. If you keep walking in the sins, if you refuse to repent, even though you have all this protection that God have provided you, you cannot experience this Shalom. Verse 2, open the gate. I'm going back to verse 2. That the righteous nation, you need to be a righteous nation, a righteous people, person, may enter, the one that remains faithful. So there is a footnote here. There's a footnote here. I have done all this. Right? I've relying on God. I pray. I trust Him. But how come I do not experience this Shalom? There's a footnote here. Open the gate. The gate is only open for those righteous people. Only the way of the righteous is smooth and level. we need to go back to the Lord and pray for His forgiveness. And then we move on to once again, prophet always here, if you do not do that, the wicked are like the tossing sea, cannot be quiet, you cannot experience shalom. The wicked people, wicked. You may think that you're winning, you are actually not winning, you're losing, because you cannot have this true peace. And its waters toss up with refuse and mud. There's no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. If we refuse to turn away from the sin that we continue to commit, we cannot experience this true shalom. So that is a requirement. So it's a step-to-step, like instruction. You've got to follow the instruction. So yesterday at the picnic, everybody was given a rice cake. Is that called a rice cake? Yeah. And it was actually prepared by the sisters. It's a Korean rice cake. So they make it, and then they put instruction on how to eat the rice cake. But I don't normally read instructions. So I just take out the wrap and then start eating. Oh, so sour, the rice. So when I finished, I saw this piece of seaweed there. So what is this piece of seaweed for? So I look at the instruction. You're supposed to unwrap it in a certain way. So that the seaweed will wrap, that you eat the rice cake with the seaweed. So I did not follow the instruction. So I ate the rice without the proper wrapping. So it did not taste that great. So I ate that seaweed afterwards. But it's not the same. You drink the coffee and then you eat the sugar. It's not exactly the same. And then he has a beautiful poem here. It's really beautiful, this poem. My soul yearns for you in the night. We got to look at this like a poet. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. Wow, isn't this beautiful? Night, morning, soul, spirit, my whole person yearns for you. When your judgment come upon the earth, the people on the earth, not the land, earth. When the judgment come upon the people on the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Judgment, righteousness. Earth, the world. Isn't this a beautiful, beautiful poem? Day and night, we are leaning our mind on Christ, on the Lord, in the Lord, day and night. And we walk in righteousness. We have to be righteous people. We have to turn away from sin. Sin is probably the biggest obstacle to hinder us to experience this shalom. So Isaiah, the prophet here, is giving us, is leading us step by step. Brothers and sisters, where did you fall? Which step did you miss? How come your rice cake is so sour? Did you forget that the wrap supposed to eat it together? Do not leave it behind. Even though it doesn't look very tasty, you got to eat the whole thing together. But Pastor Norman, even I have done all this, I am still stressful. Like me. I worry about the world. I don't know why I had to. I won't be sent to Ukraine to war, but I worry about the war. When I look at the news, I do feel upset. I do lose this shalom. Then the Isaiah, that's why I said this chapter is just such a beautiful, wonderful, complete package. And then you need to realize that peace is in God's sovereignty. You need to look beyond the daily news. You need to look beyond the news that you anticipate in the next few days, the next few weeks, the next few months, or even the next few years or decades. And the prophet know that people are worried. And then before he go into this final, not quite the final, almost the final section of the sequence, the steps to Shalom. He wants to reconfirm his people that, I want to reconfirm you once again in verse 12. The Lord, you will establish peace for us. Peace did not come from the government, did not come from the powerful nations. They cannot create peace. Peace come from the Lord. You will establish peace for us, since you have also performed for us all our works. He is the one who established the peace, and he is the one who has done the work to generate peace, not us, not humans. And they were worried. They're worried. So as today, we worry. We worry about all these powerful countries. They're not exactly righteous countries. But here Isaiah said that, fear not, worry not. O Lord our God, other masters, other nations besides you have ruled us. But through you alone, we confess your name. The dead will not live. The departed spirits will not rise. Therefore, you have punished and destroyed them, and you have wiped out all remembrance of them. So where are all these powerful nations? Where are the, one day when you look back today, where are the Assyrians? Where are the Babylonians? Where are the Persians? Where is Hitler? Where are the Egyptians that slaved you? So prophet Isaiah here is saying that God is the God of history, not just the God of no spiders. Actually, he created the spiders, sorry. It's not just your immediate fear. You need to look at God from a historical perspective. Where are all these masters who once slaved you? That they will not live. They will not rise again. They are gone. They disappeared. Where's Hitler? They are destroyed. They will be wiped out, all remembers. No one talk about them anymore, except the Lord's name will stay forever. Amen. This is Isaiah here is giving them the comfort. Even though when you look out, we may wonder, where is God? How come there's so much unrighteousness happening here today on earth? But the Lord said, I am in control. All these bad guys, where are they now? Where are they now? I will win at the end. I am the winner. There's only one winner. I am the winner at the end. And all these names, no one will remember them. You have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. Here he's saying it twice. You are glorified. You have extended all the borders of the land. People try to kill, wipe out the nation of Israel. But instead, Israel will continue to grow. Now, this we have to go back to Isaiah's time. So that's Isaiah is talking. People try to destroy you. But after all these wars, you will actually increase. You will increase. You become stronger. You extend your borders of the land. So the nation will not disappear. Instead, it will continue to increase to become stronger. But here, the prophet is not talking about just the physical nation of the Israelites. He's talking about God's kingdom. Because God has promised that he will make this a nation of all nations, that through Abraham, God's blessings will be to all nations, that they will all become the people of God. So the prophet here is actually talking about not just the Israel people, but all the people who one day will become the people of God, church. So no one can contain the growth of God's kingdom, because it's God is in control. He will increase the kingdom of God. He will increase and he will extend the border to all people. So the prophet here is giving us a comfort here. It's not because of you, not because of the nation of Israel, that can accomplish all this. In fact, you can do nothing. As the pregnant woman approaches the time to give birth, he writhes and cries out in her labor pains, "Thus were we before you, O Lord." We were pregnant, is using an analogy here. We writhe in labor, we gave birth, as it seems, only to win. We are pregnant, we go through pain, but we have accomplished nothing. No baby was delivered. That means they try to be a godly nation by their own effort. In fact, they failed. They did not proclaim the Lord's name. It is God himself who sent the Messiah to complete his plan for salvation. You could not accomplish deliverance, salvation for the earth, nor were inhabitants of the world born. See, Isaiah here is making another prophecy that the people of Israel could not understand at that time. So God promised that through the Israel, the nation, all nations will be blessed. But in fact, it's not because of what they have done. They did nothing. In fact, they give the Lord a bad name. Right? But God will one day deliver this deliverance through Jesus the Messiah. You have accomplished nothing, only to win, to the win. You could not accomplish deliverance, but it is the Lord who finished that. So even for this salvation, God himself will make it possible, will make it complete. Wow, isn't this a beautiful, a powerful message here? You enter into God's peace through the gate. You have to be a righteous person, lean on him. But really not, because God is in control of history. He's in control of salvation. He's in control of everything. We do not need to worry about all these wicked governments in the world. Their names will one day be erased. Nobody will remember them. And then the prophet will go on to the last thing here. As we get older, we all worry that we may die. Fear of death, that cannot give us a shalom. If we are thinking that we will get really sick and die, we all have some fear of death. These few weeks, young people I know since he was young, die very young age. I feel really sad. And I do not know why he's so young, so much ahead of him. I do not know. I try to comfort the family. I do not know. I just feel, I feel sad myself. I do not know. So how can we have shalom if we always fear of death, if our loved ones die in an accident or die or leave us very young? How can we have shalom? Death is the ultimate fear for everybody, isn't it? And Isaiah here even addressed that. Peace transcends death and enters eternity. The death will live. What do you mean? I'm sure no one understands what Isaiah was saying. The death will live. Their corpse will rise. What are you talking about? I'm sure this is almost 3,000 years ago. No one have a clue what Isaiah is talking about. How can the death will live, corpse will rise? You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. He must be crazy. He must be watching too much Korean vampire movies. How can the death arise and shout and more joy? For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirit. Wow. Isn't the Bible fantastic? Isaiah here is prophesying the coming of Jesus almost 900 years later. For the believer, there's hope beyond the grave because Jesus Christ has opened the door to heaven for us by his death and resurrection. I'm sure no one understood what Isaiah was talking about. about death and resurrection. But today, we know, because Jesus is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Death is probably our biggest enemy to stop us from experiencing shalom, shalom. And Isaiah even addressed that challenge. So brothers and sisters, what is there to stop us to experience this shalom, shalom? And it's not finished yet. There's one more verse here at the end. It's not finished yet. And the eternity, verse 20 to 21, that's the last. It's even more beyond death. Wow. This is truly a complete message, a complete sermon. No one needs to preach on this anymore next week. Nothing else to say. Even go beyond death and resurrection. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. What time is it talking about? It's talking about the judgment day, rapture. Depends on what eschatology view you take. There are different views on eschatology. High for little, while until indignation runs into course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out for his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her sling. Enter into your room and close the doors behind you. He's talking about that day, the judgment day. He will come back to punish the world, punish all the ones who are committed all the crimes today that we were really mad and why didn't God, where's God? He will come back and he's talking about the judgment day, but we will be safe. Enter into your room and close the door. God will protect us. If you are truly a born again Christian, accept him as your Lord and Savior. What a complete shalom package from entering into his presence, talking about the future, the judgment day, that we may not even see that judgment day in our life on earth, but it is there. We know the Bible prophesies. And today, the conclusion, let's not, conclusion is go back to your heart, go back to verse 3. And you, today, you may not care about the war outside Vancouver. You may not care about all those, but you can find true shalom, shalom. If you just remember and practice and put this verse into your daily exercise, you keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is lean on you, because he trusts in you. Let's pray. Father God, help all of us, to keep our mind to lean, stay on you, and not on the circumstances surrounding us. And you look up to you. You control history. You control the whole situation. And you are the judge, and everything is under within your sovereignty. And give us this shalom. We may not be seeing that far away. Some of us have struggles in our heart. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's our work situation. Maybe it's our finance. Father God, let us find shalom, shalom in you by putting our mind in you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.